Howdy, everybody out there in podcast land. I'm Chet Garner, and you're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast, Episode 6, as we talk about Texas Christmas traditions. This one's going to be a lot of fun. I got Mr. Todd White. What the heck was that? We got the remix of the theme song going on over there. I got Mr. Todd White in the studio working the soundboard.
Howdy, howdy, folks. I'm sorry. I'm kind of playing around there.
He's had a little too much Shiner holiday cheer, if you know what I mean. Mr. Richie Lozano over here as well. How are you, Richie?
I just opened this beer. Give me a second.
Richie's podcast is brought to you by, what is that, Revolver Brewing?
No, it's just beer, like the kind you order on a TV show. Give me a beer. They just hand you something.
And they hand you something because you can't say trademarks?
Right.
Well, we love those guys too much. So what is it?
This is High Brass American Blonde Ale from Revolver Brewing.
Very nice. Very nice. So we've got the crew here in the studio. We are missing Miss Kelly Baldwin. We're going to miss her dearly today. But what we're talking about is Christmas traditions here in Texas. So what are our own personal traditions? What are some traditions that the state has? And maybe give you guys some ideas of things you can go do to celebrate your Christmas. Maybe launch a brand new tradition.
Creepy Santa.
Creepy Santa? New tradition. What was that? It's like the Santa in the back of a, you know, haunted house at Halloween. Oh, man. But today's podcast is brought to you by the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. I knew to wait for the splash this time. You know, the Highland Lakes are an amazing place. If you're looking for a spot to host your family Christmas, or if you're looking for a place to get away from Christmas completely, the Highland Lakes has the destination you're looking for. You know, they've got amazing conference centers, hotels, retreats, bed and breakfasts, all hidden in the hills of Burnett County. So no matter what you're looking to do, whether you're looking to have more Christmas or escape Christmas, visit thehighlandlakes.org and you can find the perfect spot for you. All sorts of stuff. I wouldn't recommend swimming this time of year in the Highland Lakes necessarily, unless you're of the polar bear persuasion. Let's jump right in to Christmas traditions that you guys have. Me personally, I had family spread out pretty far across the state growing up. And so every Christmas meant epic road trips for us. And to this day, I have no idea how my parents got all the kids and the Christmas presents into a car and moved us across, you know, all the way across Texas. But we would go up to my grandparents' house in Stephenville, and it would be about 4 days of sleeping on the ground with your cousins, staying up all night waiting for Santa, more food than you know what to do with, from one set of grandparents' house to another set of grandparents' house, maybe a cousin's house thrown in, definitely a trip to the movie somewhere in there. That's sort of how we celebrated our Christmases. So we didn't wake up on Christmas morning at our house with our Christmas tree. It was always my grandparents' house. But that was fun. It was fun for sure.
Something always cool about being at the grandparents' house for Christmas, you know?
Is that what y'all did?
Something special.
Yeah.
Not all the time. Not for myself. We did that every second or third year because my family lived in either Florida or North Carolina. So
okay.
You get in the tropics or you get the snow.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's not bad. I don't know if I've ever had a white Christmas.
Oh, you're missing out.
Not that I can recall. I've lived in Texas, man. We don't have any white Christmases unless maybe you live in
north of Dallas. Yeah. Dallas maybe probably.
Dallas maybe has had a few, or Canadian Texas way up there on the North Panhandle.
Most of our Christmases were spent with my parents and myself, and I'm an only child, which has its advantages and disadvantages. But for us, you know, a big tradition for us was actually doing Christmas on Christmas Eve. That was our big thing. We would gather together on the fireplace, faux fireplace.
The gas log.
Is that a faux your place?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Exactly.
Perfect.
A faux your place.
But we'd always read the Christmas story together and really focus on Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. And so we read that of Luke. And then we would, from there, have a meal. And then we'd actually start opening Christmas presents. And every so often, we would sprinkle in the gingerbread house as well and bring that in. Because we grew up in Germany. My dad was in the military. So I spent probably 4 or 5 years in Germany and had
the German Christmas house.
Exactly.
So the gingerbread house.
Florida, exactly. South Carolina,
and
Germany. Just spreading it out.
We should rename the title of this one to, like, World Christmas Traditions. I don't know. Todd has many Texas ones. That's cool, though. You got to spend it all over the place.
But I will say, you know, there's a huge German population in Texas, as we all know, especially in this area. And probably one of the most touching traditions that I've experienced since I've been married is going to the church that she grew up in Zeal, Texas, which is outside of Schertz, out in the farming community.
I'm going to need a little more reference shirts.
Shirts and exactly a booming metropolis.
Right. Yes, of course. Actually, I'm going to go shirts and then passed out Seguin. So we're like way out in the farm community. Yep,
so we're talking like San Antonio area and then
San Antonio, Converse,
north of that,
that area. And then, well, I said shirts, but really Seguin's probably a better reference
there. Okay, a little down the other
Seguin,
way.
Seguin, then I-10, head down I-10, and then go to Zeal from there.
Zeal.
But a good old Lutheran church.
Never knew there was a Zeal, Texas until I met Todd.
No. You never knew that.
Nope.
Oh, man.
I learn stuff every day about this.
I feel an episode brewing. Anyway.
Hope there's more than just that church.
Blink and you miss it. All right. So anyway, though. Amazing, though, is to go there in a German community, Lutheran church, and go into the service for Christmas Eve, candlelight, and sing Silent Night in German. That is just amazing.
Give us a little piece of that. Yeah, give us a piece of that.
Oh, I can't do it. I just listened.
You just promised all of our listeners. You just said how cool it was.
I'll see if I can find it on iTunes real quick or something.
Please do that,
actually.
Pay
for that, more than just $1.99. No, that does sound fun, you know, getting into kind of old world traditions with your Christmas stuff. Like, we just went, it was always like, we traded off my dad's family or my mom's family, and it was either San Antonio or somewhere around Houston. So, yeah, it was the same thing, like this giant gathering, and like the way my mom's family worked is my grandmother, she had she's one of 11 brothers and sisters, and so that whole clan like stuck together.
Crazy.
So each one of them had 5 kids, and then each one of them had 5 kids. And so it just got nuts. And, you know, the more time has passed and the older I've got, the more that each one's family's kind of broken off. It's like, okay, it's time to start our own traditions. But when I was a kid, it was 30, 40-something cousins. Just
at the cousin level?
Yeah, just below the adult age.
Wow.
And then moving up from there, and it was people you see once a year, and just food galore.
I want to come to a Lozano family Christmas.
Yeah, oh, man.
Those are Garcia's.
Garcia family Christmas. Right. That's
food
comas?
Yeah, a little bit. You just kind of find a spot. And then we did the same thing at midnight. So right at like 10 o'clock. And as everyone came into town, you'd bring most of the presents underneath the giant tree. So it was like a pyramid of presents under this tree at the top, right? And then they passed around, you know, Xerox copies of Christmas carols, you know, like 40 packets stapled together. Of course, they were tattered and torn from years of being the same ones. Someone kept them at someone's house in an old drawer, of course.
That's great.
And so for about, for maybe an hour, we would sing Christmas carols. And then we did Bible reading. And I'm not sure if we always went from the same gospel, like we round tabled on the gospels there. And then it was midnight. It was Christmas presents. So it was pandemonium.
At midnight?
Yeah.
And the little cousins stayed up that late? And they melt down?
Well, like, plenty of sugar there to keep them. Plenty of sugar to keep them between, like, you know, honey ham and cookies. And,
ew.
Of course, all the little, like, you know, Hispanic stuff, like the little sugar cookies, little galletas and things. And people were making tamales the whole time.
That was a question I had.
Flour,
like,
tortillas the whole time.
Was the food at your family Christmas Hispanic, or was it like the traditional turkey stuffing kind of stuff?
We did it all. I mean, there was a version of everything. There were 4 turkeys. There were 5 casserole dishes full of stuffing. There were
Someone
did yams. Someone in particular did a very potent batch of rum balls one year, which was which was fun, you know. And then just, you know, just like little simple stuff, like a hot tortilla with butter. That's it.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You just walk around and eat all that. But as far as, like, you know, someone would have menudo some years not. It wasn't like, oh, my God, we have to have tamales. It was kind of 50-50. It was mismatched. There was no...
But you talk about a Texas Christmas tradition, man. Tamales at Christmas time is amazing. I mean, they can get them out throughout the year, but there's something about tamales at Christmas that is awesome.
You order, like, dozens at a time,
right? Oh, yeah.
And no one is... Funny, like, unless your family does them specifically. No, it was always... You just ordered, you know, hey, there's this old lady down the street. We're getting orders. How many do you want?
Yeah, how many dozen tamales do you want?
Give me 6.
And the going rate be like...
No, 6 dozen. Bring them.
$5 bucks a dozen? I mean, I think that was about the going rate.
Whatever it is now, it's awesome.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's that chart even now where you can find tamales that are either like really good, you try to find that lady again, and who knows if you can.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The next year. Or it's like, yeah, these are okay, but that one time...
That one, remember those
tamales? Remember that one year we had the awesome tamales? so Christmas... So midnight would come, we do... The presents, And then that was it. And the people will try to save bows. Save me the bow.
Oh, gosh.
Save me the bow. Someone's trying to save paper.
We still save bows. My wife saves bows. We have a whole Tupperware full of used bows that have no sticky on them. So you have to, like, duct tape them to the package. Staple them down. And they're all ripped up and torn. Mm-hmm. That's the way she was raised. So, of course, that's the way we do it as well.
Maybe I'm the odd man out, but I hate the whole saving bows. And
I hate it, too.
And the
ribbon and the paper. And I'm just like, shred it and ditch it. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight on that one. I'm just going to give in. Yeah, let's save bows.
Did you guys do like a certain kind of food, like a big Christmas food or something like that?
I mean, our food was a smorgasbord. I mean, there was always turkey. There was always turkey. There was always ham and stuffing. Green bean casserole.
Classic.
And then beyond that, it was just a smorgasbord. I mean,
did y'all ever do like cheese and rice casserole? Broccoli cheese and rice casserole?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
Winner.
Yeah. Of course,
Winner.
Man. Of course. And no, you know, and like, this is, you know, macaroni and cheese, always.
Right.
And I love it because your parents were too busy to watch how much macaroni and cheese you ate. You know, when you're sitting at the dinner table with just six of you, they're like, no, you've already had too much. But at Thanksgiving and Christmas, man, you could go back in through that line seven, eight times. No one could stop you from getting more mac and cheese.
Yeah. And one thing for me is my mom started off when I was young. I love M&M cookies, and I don't get them that often. So that was
kind of like chocolate chip with M&Ms in it?
Exactly.
Okay, right.
M&M cookies. And so she would make them every Christmas for me. And so Patsy's taken on that role since we've been married. And I just, I could
M&M
go.
M&M cookies, huh?
I could
M&M
go. Cookies. I brought you guys some last Christmas.
Oh, I remember those still. Those were good.
They were.
I inhaled
those. Better
yeah,
show
nice.
Up again. Those better show up again.
I will put your order in now to Patsy. Yeah. We'll make an extra batch because I get pretty stingy with those. And she rarely gets to have more than one or two. And I'm with like eggnog, milk. That I'm good.
See, I went back and forth on eggnog. I used to be all about eggnog. And now I really can't stand it.
It has to be. It
it's
has to
so
be coated.
Thick. You feel like coating,
coating your arteries. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
I want to clarify that it's eggnog diluted with milk. I can't do straight eggnog.
Okay.
No good.
All right.
But dilute that.
That stuff is thick. It's like heavy whipping cream with cinnamon in it, and you're just like,
yeah. Oh yeah,
it's intense.
Because they've called it eggnog, you feel okay drinking it, but it's too much for me.
No, it's
your
tough.
Story I'm with the Rumballs reminded me of one. I think I was about 10 years old. I had a great aunt who was going blind, but she still lived independently.
Okay.
And one day, we showed up to visit Aunt Dovey, and she was making eggnog. Well, we watched her on this blender blending the eggnog, like homemade eggnog,
right.
Raw
okay.
eggs, the whole deal.
Oh, wow.
And a bottle of Jack Daniels. And about half of it was gone, because she wasn't measuring anything, and she'd lost her eyesight, and so she was just pouring, making these Jack Daniels eggnog. And then she served it to us.
Whiskey
and she
nog.
Was not in her 90s or something at that point.
Drink
and
up.
So she gave it to us and put this whipped cream on it and put us around the table. And like it tasted like straight gasoline with a little tinge of yellow to it. Uh-huh. And I remember my mom being like, just take a sip. Don't drink the eggnog. She'll never know. And be like, this is good, Aunt Dovey. We love it. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, she was serving us straight liquor pretty much at that point.
Lindsay so my fiance Lindsay started doing a recipe swap for the holidays.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's cookies, it's sweet stuff, it's casseroles, it's whatever your thing is. And so now from Katie Green, that producer for the Day Tripper.
Of course.
KT Green. She gave us, and I call it devil corn because of how much you consume. It's this like caramelized candied
what?
Kind of popcorn.
What?
It's kind of like Crunch and Munch, but not that hard shell, but it's got more cinnamon and sugar in it.
No.
It's evil.
So you pop the popcorn, then you kind of coat it and roast it a little bit?
Yeah, Lindsay's got this thing. You pop a bunch of popcorn, you get those giant aluminum roasters.
Yeah, the big sheets.
The big throwaway kind. Yeah,
yeah,
throwaway kind. And you get this, you know, this evil sauce. And you drizzle it and you toss it and then you let it dry and then you're done. You're toast.
I need some more of the devil corn. I mean,
it never
fails like Thanksgiving, Christmas. I eat all day, and I'm not hungry. I wasn't hungry 3 hours
just
ago, and I'm just I graze the whole time. Oh, there's some turkey here. I guess I'll make a sandwich, and I'll eat a full sandwich at a point in the afternoon that I'm not even hungry at all. But that's just how it is. And then at some point around 6 p.m. We think, oh, we need to eat dinner now. And so
pass the mac and cheese.
Some of it will come back out. Some of what went away will come back out, but most of it stayed out. But they'll be like, we're having dinner now. It's like, what? We've never finished lunch. We've been eating the whole time.
And then worse, you're watching in just in front of a TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
any
yeah.
kind of movie. Oh. Your Christmas movie tradition.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's a whole another discussion.
Let's dive into that while we're here. I mean, what's your favorite Christmas movies?
Ooh, this is a good question. Good question. You know, the movie that Laura and I watch, my wife, every year is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's your go-to.
Yeah, you know, if I was on an island and could only bring one Christmas movie with me to this island, I'd go National Lampoon's. But every year I have to watch Christmas Story. And now that we've got the kids, we sit together as a family and watch Charlie Brown Christmas. And I love that one, too.
You know, I've got two that are just staples for me. It's a Wonderful Life. I love classics.
You get the really bad colorized one.
So here's the deal. Colorization absolutely annoys me. In fact, we came back from a trip, and we had not been able to watch It's a Wonderful Life when we were up at my grandparents' cabin up in North Carolina. So we came back. I came home, and it was on the TV. I was so excited. I got my popcorn. I got something to drink. I sat down, and it was the colorized version. I put away the popcorn, put away my drink, turned off the TV, and went to bed. I will not tolerate that.
I pulled out the whiskey knob, and I said, it's me.
So, and the second one for me is Holiday Inn.
I've never seen Holiday Inn. Might have Crosby, stumbled upon. Oh, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire. Bo, 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 bo. Exactly.
The man with the voice.
And
like
here's velvet. And here's a little known fact, actually, that in Holiday Inn was the very first time that Bing Crosby released the song White Christmas.
White Christmas, right.
That didn't happen in the movie White Christmas.
You're kidding.
It was released many years before in Holiday Inn.
See,
absolutely
we
amazing.
Watched White Christmas for the first time maybe 2 years ago. It was great. It is cheesy. I mean, that movie, all those old classics are, but that makes them so good.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you have to watch The Grinch that Stole Christmas.
Grinch is a great childhood classic. Animated Grinch. Dr. Seuss Grinch. Not Jim Carrey Grinch.
Grinch.
Yeah, the old school one. We watched the Jim Carrey one for the first time last year. I watched it for the first time, start to finish.
Freaky out?
Weird, man. Mm-hmm. He looks super weird in that. Just can't do it. Can't do it.
No, see, always when I think of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I always go to Home Alone. That is an awesome Christmas movie.
That's your go-to.
Do you watch that every year? I haven't seen that in 10 years.
Got to. Still laugh, still scream. Like, Richie's so stupid. Why? Well, look at him. He's watching this movie like he's seen it the first time. It's like, yeah, sorry.
I can hang on to my
childhood joy, unlike you, you Scrooge. No, it's Christmas Story.
Christmas Story's great.
Thank goodness TNT is taking care of that for us.
Oh, man.
24 hours. Is it TBS?
Either one. 24 hours for 24 days before Christmas. It'll be nothing but Christmas Story.
And then, it's Home Alone's Christmas Story. We didn't do National Lampoon's very much. When we were kids.
I didn't watch that show as a kid. And that's not one that I'm going to show my kids for a few years. Later. Later in high school and college, you know, you're like, oh, that's funny.
Right. And then I love laughing at all the ones on like Hallmark.
My Christmas Wish.
Gosh. Those are thin.
And it's
man.
Like, oh, they're terrible.
Those are tough.
Starring Kirk Cameron.
Or Candace Cameron. Yeah, she's in all of those things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, before that it was, you know, God, I can't even think. You know, who's the mom from Growing Pains?
Oh yeah,
and the dad from Family Ties.
Dies.
They just bring in everybody.
Yes. Every kind of weird romantic. Oh man!
And
within five minutes, you know the plot. You know how it's going to resolve.
But you still got to.
You still got to watch the full hour and a half of it. They're going to shut down the toy store. They can't do that.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to fall in love at the end.
Yeah.
Probably, but let's see how.
I don't know. Yeah.
Elf is a new classic.
Elf is really good. Elf is really good. That's a classic. And then I like Miracle on 34th Street.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is good.
Oh, with Tim Allen.
Yeah. Santa Claus is a good
one. That one's really fun.
Really good one. And then what about go off of that one. What about Christmas music? You guys. Oh,
thank you,
very nice. guess there, Todd.
This is that classic.
Yeah,
I don't
classic
know. What is this?
Whistling any bearded folk band Christmas revival.
Here it comes.
Hey!
Actually, if you add sleigh bells to anything, it's a Christmas song.
Hey, I agree.
That's pretty true.
Totally agree. It has to happen.
Got
here we go. Here we go.
I'll bet. Joy to the world, the
Lord has come. Let that's a stretch. That's a big stretch.
I like the song. I like the song. Yeah, here's something that struck me. I mean, we've got such a small canon of Christmas classics, right? So every year, some artist releases their Christmas album with their versions of these old songs.
Yeah.
Are they ever better than the originals?
Well, what are the originals? Especially for like carols.
Well, like carols, that song right there is a good classic. But like, we got to listen to 10 new bands do it in their way every single year.
Well, you know, only Nat King Cole can do the Christmas song.
Okay, Chess, I guess so. Yeah, sure.
True, absolutely.
Yeah. And then Mel Torme, and you know, and then Burl Ives has to do Holly Jolly Christmas.
Jolly Christmas. You're right.
But yeah, there are some more. It's just like, oh, please.
Is this
a contractual obligation from the record company? You know,
with a cold. This one isn't bad. Who's this?
This is Zooey Deschanel, swear to God. Is it?
Actually, so this is actually a Fiona Apple doing this song. And it's
Zooey Deschanel, not far off.
I love the whole non-traditional approach to the Christmas music stuff.
Yeah,
I get tired of the mainstream stuff. And so this came off of an album called The Winter Cafe. And it was amazing. It was a big compilation of different artists doing their take on it. And it was great.
I do like Christmas instrumentals, like jazz instrumentals.
Those are cool.
When they
kind of
jazz out the rest.
Yeah,
Harry
Connick
Jr.'s Christmas album was,
hadn't heard that one.
Good.
It's just sometimes you're trying too hard to make a classic your own version. And I'm just like, guys, no. But then I'm like, well, would I even want to hear them singing it traditionally? Probably not. So, like,
so just shut up.
Yeah. No,
so
I don't mean to be.
Off.
I don't mean to be grumpy old Christmas guy. Rawr! There hadn't been a good Christmas song since 1922. I don't mean to be that, because I did like Kelly Clarkson's song she released last year.
What was that?
I don't know. Something about Christmas.
Could have been that good.
people
have said like the past 3 years, like the last good Christmas song, the last classic was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, now that's
from 1993.
That's a good one. That's a good
one. There's a good argument to say. But I always like the ones that still stand up, like the one where they remake a classic, is country albums.
Now, country albums.
Country artists can redo a good old Christmas song and be done, like Alan Jackson.
Oh, Alan Jackson got great Christmas albums.
Yeah.
Vince Gill stuff.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. You know,
I'm waiting to see how Florida Georgia Line does Christmas.
Oh, no.
No, please.
But you know, so I agree
Georgia
with you guys.
Georgia and Florida should pass joint law that they cannot make a Christmas album.
So I agree that with you guys about the Christmas music, and it gets kind of old after a while. But I like the non-traditional approaches to it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, bands like Folk Angel, which is one of the first songs we heard from Joy to the World, I love their takes on the Christmas music. The whole Winter Cafe was great. Future of Forestry is one of my favorite groups / solo
person.
You
sound like Starbucks albums.
He does.
I mean, But Todd
sat in Starbucks for an hour and got his whole new music tune.
But it's a really cool take on it, and so it's totally different.
Well, it's definitely finding the diamond in the rough.
Yeah, it is.
You know, hunting through.
Oh man, there
Christmas
are endless
going,
Christmas albums, finding, and everyone feels compelled. Maybe it's their manager is just coaxing them to do it, but like every American Idol dropout has a Christmas album.
Yeah,
with the same songs.
Like it's what Simon told him to do. Simon says,
make
a Christmas album.
Make a Christmas
album. You know what's funny is I was talking to a popular Christian recording artist, and he was saying that their management does force that on them. There is a phase everyone goes through where the manager says you have to make a Christmas album, and the label's like, you have to do this under contract. You have to release one, and it's like, oh, do I really?
Yeah,
so
and
you
they're
do
great
it to
songs. I mean, it would be hard to do your own spin. Something classic that sticks.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that'd
it's
be tough.
Rough.
That'd
it's
be
rough.
Tough.
Especially
I
if you're
for
like
the artists
doing
now.
A vocal on something. It's like, do I really get my band to do up a version, an arrangement of a classic? And, you know, like if you're like an instrumentalist, you know, if you also play guitar or play piano, it can be a bare bones arrangement. Just you, however you play it. But if you're a singer, it's kind of like you're at the mercy of the arrangement.
That's true.
Which the studio, I'm sure, like, forced on you as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'll also tell you that, you know, going to church on a regular basis, I like the fact that there are new approaches that, you know, modern-day worship bands are taking on some of the Christmas classics, you know, like Chris Tomlin did and a few other guys.
Sure.
That do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because if you're going to sit through 4 or 5 weeks of Christmas music in church, it's nice to mix it up a little
bit.
But,
you know,
here comes the organ and piano version of Angels We've Heard on High or something again.
But they're pulling from thousands of hymns. Like
which is great.
The Christmas song selection is like 25.
Exactly.
And they're doing the same 25 songs.
Yeah, so you do have to try. You do have to try to do new things too. But can you boil it down to one? Favorite Christmas carol.
Ooh.
Chet, go. Favorite Christmas carol.
I always liked We Three Kings, man.
We Three Kings.
We Three
Kings.
We Three Angels We Have Heard on High.
Good one as well.
I go Carol of the Bells.
Wow.
Ding dong the bells, Christmas. Oh, yeah. Love that one. Love all the
versions.
Do
you know any words beyond ding dong the bells, heart silver bells,
Christmas is here.
La, 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 bum, bum, bum,
it's time to move to our next
topic.
If
I try to sing that, it ends up just going,
la, 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 Christmas. That's why you should never do a Christmas album.
That's
no,
right.
You know, I do like it's going
Chet's here. No lyric Christmas. It's like Chet sing We Three Kings. We Three Kings.
Hum, hum, hum. I like going to see choirs.
Oh,
at churches.
No.
They'll do like a free show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see choirs do that. It's really nice.
I like a cappella choirs in a really good acoustic building.
Big cathedral church.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff.
What's next?
Sorry, it was just bells. You were talking about bells. I was like, okay.
I was waiting for a Christmas original.
I've got more, but you know, but I've always got stuff over here on the soundboard.
All
you know?
Good.
So,
Todd's bag of tricks.
Yeah, I do. And this is dangerous giving me the producing and the soundboard app for this. But anyway, all right, moving on. So, Texas Christmas ideas and things to do. Let's just kind of bring this back to Texas here.
Activities.
Well, you know, that's really. Really cool. There are actually a lot of different things to do all over Texas. And the places that you're familiar with all the other 11 months out of the year, when it comes to December, they usually change completely, and they're totally worth a revisit. One of my favorite things to do in talking about Christmas traditions, my wife and I have started one, and that's to go on the Hill Country, you know, lighted courthouse tour. So it starts kind of in Burnet, that courthouse, then you wind your way down to Marble Falls, and they don't have a courthouse there, but they light up this park right on the lake. Just absolutely amazing. Then you go down to Johnson City. You see that courthouse. Then the Perdinalis Electric Co-op puts, I don't know how many million lights up, but there's people selling hot cocoa, and you're all cozy. And
sounds like a lot of walking. from that town to that town.
It's a little bit of walking, but
So you drive.
This is definitely a driving tour. Then out to Fredericksburg. And they've got the really huge wooden, you know, those wooden structures that have the propeller at the top and you light the candles and they turn.
It's called a windmill. Oh, the small ones.
The small ones. Horizontal propeller. You light the candles. Oh. They turn around. I can't remember what they're
called. Todd, you're my German
expert. You're the
expert.
German guy.
Come on. Aren't those some kind of folk art German?
Yeah. They're very German. So Fredericksburg has a huge one that's like 20 feet tall.
They're little candle. They're like heat-driven propeller.
Yes.
All
we used to have those in Germany. I have no clue what they're called, but I used to love those because you light the candles at the base.
Yeah,
and
they all start spinning.
And then they have the little people. Usually, if you get them all fancy, they got the people that rotate.
So Fredericksburg has a 20-foot tall one.
Really?
And that's what we do.
Like
we wind our way down.
Is that how does it run?
Basically. And then they got it made in Germany. And so that's
nice.
Out there. It's really impressive.
Very nice.
And then, you know, we wind our way down through the Hill Country Lighted Courthouse Tour. It's awesome.
Did y'all ever do those little porcelain villages?
Oh, no. I had one of my best friends, his mom did one.
Me too.
And that's what we gave her every year, just another thing. And it ended up getting really, really ridiculous. You know, so the Hill Country Courthouse Tour, the lighted Christmas Hill Country Tour is awesome. Then you've got those parks that you drive through in your car. Like the huge one that comes to mind is just south of College Station, Santa's Wonderland. Have y'all ever driven through one of those parks? You stay in your car.
Zilker.
Mm-hmm. Zilker.
When they did it in drive-thru. They change it all the time.
Yeah, Zilker's walking tour now.
Yeah, it's walking now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That one's good. Of course, Zilker Park, the Trail of Lights, is absolutely amazing. Do y'all go out there?
I've done that a couple of times.
On and off.
Yep.
It's really good. Of course, it closed down got minimized for a couple of years, but now it's back in full force. If you're down in the Houston way, Dickens on the Strand.
Galveston. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in Galveston. They turn all of the Strand into basically this, I guess it's 18th century, early 1900s, Charles Dickens.
It's a Victorian style.
And everyone
style.
Walks around yep. speaking with English accents.
I think Oliver it's going to be like December like the 5th through the 7th this year.
We went, I've been twice, I believe. It's basically like Renaissance Festival, but on the Strand. So everybody's dressed up, carolers everywhere, hot chocolate. It's a lot of fun.
And the people are probably more clothed and more conservative than
the Renaissance.
And it's yes. not even close to the Renaissance time period.
A lot less chainmail. No.
Oh, okay. That
yeah,
kind of, that
a lot
kind of
less chainmail. But it, it's one of these dress-up okay. fests where it's an excuse for every repressed thespian to basically break out of the closet and speak with an English accent for 2 days straight.
Nice.
Absolutely.
And not
I
be judged.
I can see like the steampunking thing still.
Oh, I bet you there's some steampunking there. But this one's more like Jane Austen, like they're more respectful of it.
I think
we're
yeah. all over the map on these time periods here.
Yeah, when is Jane Austen? I have no idea.
What
we're
is
like
Dickens?
Off a little
18 or 19?
19.
Renaissance?
I'm going,
we're
yeah.
just somewhere in the past.
So there's centurions everywhere, and I don't know. But it's Charles Dickens era, so whatever that is in England. Little kids in knickers, you know, like little.
Well, now we're back to Germany.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. So moving past the our and bringing it back
so,
to the current.
So if you're in Houston, Dickens on the Strand is great. Move up the bay a little bit. You get to Kima. And Kima does a lighted sailboat parade, like a boat parade.
Oh, there right off the boardwalk.
That's yeah. Nice. So that's a really cool thing to do. You can go and watch the boats go by. Usually you see decorated houses, decorated boats. It's kind of a parade on the water, very cool. And then the Houston Zoo puts up 2 million lights around the zoo. So that's another cool thing to do, visit the zoo during winter.
We never did that.
That's cool.
We should have done that, but we never.
That one sounds really cool.
I never thought of that.
Y'all remember like Six Flags, Fiesta Texas, SeaWorld. Those, of course, decorate.
Oh, yeah, big
time. It's insane. It's insane there.
Follow the season.
Yep.
One of the things I like is also just name your small town with a courthouse, and you have the whole lighting of the square that happens, which is fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Like right here in Georgetown. You know, if, like coming up on Friday night, it's going to be the lighting of the square. Uh-huh. And the squares all across Texas are going to light up on Friday night. It's going to be
awesome. See, I love that. Yep. But in Georgetown, it costs like $40,000 to $60,000 just to run the electricity and the manpower to put the lights up. So they make a significant investment in it, but it is so pretty. Mm-hmm. I hope that never goes away. And then, Todd, did you ever go? Doesn't the Riverwalk come to life?
Oh, man. San Antonio, the Riverwalk, absolutely. They'd light that thing up like a Christmas tree. It's amazing. The colored lights, and then the boats get wrapped with lights, and it's just a major holiday festival down there. Always love the Riverwalk.
That's awesome. I've never been down to the Riverwalk for Christmas, but I really want to go. Maybe
we'll make it down
this year.
You are missing out.
And then, of course, another fun thing to do if you're looking for ideas, cut down your own Christmas tree. We've taken the kids and done this a couple years. And Laura and I, kids and we were married. Yeah. You ever done that?
We went once, picked out a good one, and then decided that the one they had in front was better. I mean, we didn't cut it and then abandon it or anything.
Yeah.
It's like a hayride to go back to the back and find the one you find the one you want and everything. Yeah.
We walked around there for hours. Wait, no, this one is I don't know. How tall is that one? Because they're different prices based on the height or the width of the base, whatever.
There's some commercial on TV right now, and I don't know what the product is at all, because I'm just stuck on the fact that the guy's all excited that he cut down the Christmas tree, and he comes home, and he's trying to get it to the door. He's walking through, and then it sticks, and he can't get it through the door, much less get it in the house because it's too tall for the ceiling. And they forget the product. The whole process of that is fantastic, and I wonder how many people really do that in life, where they cut it. It's too wide, and then it's too tall.
Yeah,
My friend in high school, his dad, they bought a tree every year, and every year they cut off the top. They had to cut off because every year was too big, and it was like this weird, like it was like one of those, brushes in a car wash.
Yeah,
yes. They're in the middle, wrapped and lit.
Yeah,
like, why is this thing? It's like a
there's
giant,
no top. Yeah,
cylinder.
It doesn't taper really. It's just a big giant cylinder.
Yeah, it was always.
We
horrible.
Bought one so big, or my dad I should say my dad did that. We had to anchor it to the wall.
Are you serious?
Like I don't know what he was thinking. It was huge.
Oh wow! Wow.
Well, it crashed, and then we're like, oh no, we gotta put this one back up. Had to anchor it to the ceiling with line and twine. It was insane. But we do go out and cut our Christmas tree every other year or so. I love doing that. It's a lot of fun.
Keeping it water's tough, man. Your heater's running in your house right during Christmas time, and it
gets
so dry.
And yeah. Fill up the Christmas tree. You got to go down there, and you're covered in sap, but
Yeah.
Having a live, there's just something about having a live tree. I'm sure someday we'll go to a fake tree. There's something about having a live
one. We went to fake tree and then went over to Bath and Body Works and they have this spray that smells just like it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's just really the shy of like an Ebenezer Scrooge thing. Hey, that's just
We use that tree year after year. And that stuff smells better than rotting tree.
I guess so.
Fresh balsam brought to you by Bath and Body Works. It's good.
What is that? Oh, man. So, another thing. The railroads in Texas turn into Polar Expresses.
Yes.
For the winter. We did the one in Grapevine, the North Pole Express. But if you go out to Palestine, Rusk area in East Texas, the Texas State Railroad goes over the top with the... They actually become the branded Polar Express. The kids get a little bell. You visit Santa. We took our kids into that one. That one was really fun.
And Cedar Park has one as well.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it, but yeah, right here. The Hill Country Flyer turns into a Polar Express something. Some go with the North Pole Express because of branding rights, and they don't want to, you know, do the official license. But it's all a trip to see Santa, decorated really nice. Really fun.
And the last thing on the list there is something that's really, it's declined in the past few years. But, you know, 37th and a half in Guadalupe and Austin.
The Tour of Lights.
Take it like 10 years, 12 years back. It was phenomenal. Well,
that was fun. So it's close to campus, right?
Yep.
And it wasn't exactly downtown housing. It was like a little off the beat.
Little bungalows, kind of the smaller Hyde Park things sort of all in there. Mm-hmm, of course, just south of 38.
A little bit of the old district, right?
Yeah.
But to get the mindset of that.
It had fame. But when we moved to Austin, it was this thing you had to do.
But to get the mindset of the people around there, Groovy Lube is on the corner for your autoplay.
It was a total hippie hangout. Hippie joint.
Okay, all right.
But
it was legend.
Oh,
like,
legendary.
They lit up, out of the four trees in their yard, they lit up five. Like, they added trees to light.
Light them up. Uh-huh.
All the way to the top. It was, every square inch was covered. People's backyards.
Yeah, you could walk down the street, wander through their backyard. So sometimes they'd have
cocoa. Either drive it at like 2 miles an hour. Because everyone was driving it. Or you got out and walked.
Yep.
And just it was just like parade in like every single house.
And I know it's insane.
It was only a block and a half, wasn't it?
Tiny. I know it's insane, but the Amy's ice cream right across the street. I mean, you get your Amy's ice cream and then you walk it. It's great.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. But in recent years, it has.
I think it's the hippies have moved out, and it's mostly college kids who don't either one have the time or money to, you know, spend all this time, you know, decorating their house from the top to bottom. Mm-hmm. But my favorite thing was you remember when Christmas lights used to come in those plastic click-in cases? I mean, you bought Christmas lights, and each light would be clicked into this plastic grate.
So
a lot of the hippies would just take that grate and staple gun it to the side of their house. So you'd have this square of lights, and they'd cover their house.
It was like brick of ramen noodles.
Exactly.
That lit up.
It was exactly like a brick of ramen noodles. But, man, all that stuff's gone. There is still a little bit. There's some people hanging on.
You know, like
there's
every third, fourth house is still there.
Yeah.
But nothing like it was.
Nothing like it was.
That stuff goes back and forth.
That's cool. But it's really cool, though.
Yeah, yeah. So another thing in Christmas, outside the city, a lot of the state parks are doing holiday stuff at their parks. So, like, some of the historic homes or the historic landmarks, the old forts, the Fanthrop Inn is one that I know about. They'll take it is sort of kind of Conroe-ish area north of Houston. Okay. They'll take their house, turn it into Christmas back in the period. So no Christmas lights, but they'll do it lit up with candlelights and lanterns and singing carols, and so you feel like you're walking into a historic place.
Okay.
Or the forts will. You know, they'll light them. Of course, they didn't have Christmas lights or electricity. So they'll light it all with candles and lanterns and give you an idea of what it may have felt like celebrating Christmas back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool thing. Pretty cool thing.
But you were telling me they do like the live, where's like the live nativity stuff?
Oh, yeah. So Main Street Bethlehem in Burnett. They do a full live nativity. Very limited weekends. It's one or two weekends. And I haven't gone, but I hear it's over the top. There's also one in Waxahachie.
I'm going to call it Waxahachie.
That
sounds great.
But they do a living nativity scene. We used to do that with our church. We would get, I would usually always be a wise man. And you would have, you know, the irony, man. Yes. And you'd reenact it for the only people out there be your parents. But you'd do it once or twice. But these are like over the top. They've built whole villages that are permanent, that they populate with real animals and all kinds of stuff.
Stinky. Impressive.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys. Hold on. That gives y'all just a couple ideas of some ways you can celebrate this Christmas holiday season with your family. And now we're moving on to our next segment of our show, Questions from the Back Seat.
I'm just trying something different. Usually we have the Are We There Yet? But since it's Christmas, I'm bringing in a little bit of a Chris Tomlin and Christmas music there to
Christmas tunage.
To take us in. You know,
does he have a Christmas album?
He does, and it is absolutely wonderful.
I bet it's good.
It's amazing. It's good. This is his version of Angels We've Heard on High, which is just, I think, one of the better ones out there.
Dun, 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 dun. Cool.
All right, so our first question today comes from Amy Johansson from Katy, Texas.
Hi, Amy.
And she also was out there actually at one of our Cans for Q events as well.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks for sending the question, Amy.
So Amy's question is where do we come up with the ideas to visit? And not just the towns, but the locations that we go in those towns, places that we eat and things like that. The whole package.
Okay, I got this. I got this.
Rich got it.
There's a cork board in the office. And on that cork board, we put a map of Texas. Then we get a handful of darts. And we see what happens.
It's been about as scientific from time to time. Well, I mean, you know, every season we get to make now 13 episodes. We want to spread them out. So we got to pick some in the hill country, some on the coast, some in the East Texas. And, you know, I do a lot of reading. I read Texas Highways, Texas Monthly, blogs. I'm always traveling and trying new spots. If I'm going somewhere, I'm going to drive a route that I've never taken, if I have time. And, you know, wander through some back roads, eat at some weird restaurants. I'm always on the hunt for new ideas. Amy, if you've got any, please send them over. So the ideas for each show, it's kind of random, but people make recommendations. Crew, you guys make recommendations. And it all goes into this big pot, and we mix it up.
We also crowdsource sometimes on Facebook. Yep. If we're really struggling for a good recommendation, we'll crowdsource it, too.
Speaking of crowdsourcing, January 1, we'll launch our Season 6 Viewer's Choice contest to see where we go for our Season 6 finale.
Hey, everybody, hint, hint, I love some good Tex-Mex. South Texas, vote. Just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, man. I could
Sorry,
use some
Georgetown,
good
you
right
can't
now.
Vote again for your town. It was
Yeah, if we have to do the
Season 4's finale.
Georgetown, the sequel. No, but anywhere the viewers pick, we'll go there, and then we'll find stuff to do. But as far as the individual restaurants, you know, we go and we sample a handful. We ask people which the good ones are. We make our own judgments on the good ones, and we put the good ones on TV. Only the good ones do we put on TV. The bad restaurants, we just leave out. People always ask, do you like everything you eat? And the answer is on TV, yeah, because I've already eaten it usually. And I picked the good thing to eat.
But then, like, the activity stuff, that's, you know, the outdoor stuff, that's kind of like, there's a lot of research that goes into that. Whether it's family friendly, is it seasonal, is it still going to be pretty, is it easy to do? Do you need a lot of gear to do it?
Sure. We have certain limitations.
For paddling and rock climbing and
all that cool stuff.
And the museum thing is also big. We're always in museums and trying to cover the history of the town or whatever they feature.
Yeah, whatever the town is known for. You want to tell the best story about each town. So let's say we're going to do Marble Falls. We just did a Marble Falls one recently. You go and you say, okay, they've got 10 to 20 restaurants there. We get two. Which ones have the best stories? Or which ones do we really like and we're willing to put all the effort into and put the brand behind that the day tripper endorses this one? Because when we put it on TV, you guys are going to go eat. And we know that and we love that. And so we want to make sure that we're steering you in the right direction. So there's all kinds of stuff that goes into picking the right mix.
And you got to whittle it down.
And you got to whittle it down.
Make it fit in 24 minutes.
Next question comes from Karen in Georgetown, Texas. And she asks and says, what is the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you on day trips so far?
I've actually signed a non-disclosure agreement about it. So
that's
all I'm allowed to say.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think I got that form. So
what?
Todd's going to spill the beans.
Most embarrassing.
We put
thing.
So much of that stuff on the show.
Yeah, all the really embarrassing stuff goes on because it's good TV.
I mean, no one's ever done
that. Yeah, like kiteboarding, I failed miserably at, but we put it on TV.
Yeah.
Like in Fort Davis, I thought I could mountain bike between the two parks because everyone told me you can mountain bike between the state park and the historic one. Well, turns out there's no mountain biking up there.
There's no trail.
That was somewhat embarrassing because I should have scouted it. I just didn't have time. And so I was like, oh, seriously? So I literally hiked my bike on my shoulder for about a mile and a half. We haven't like wrecked the car or gotten the car stuck anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Like,
no. Because we do our hardest to kind of like make sure, because we get one chance at almost everything on the show.
Yeah.
We get one, we're there for one day and we usually can't go do it again.
No, yeah. Especially, we've got such a packed schedule. Yeah. We get one shot.
So a lot of it's pretty thought out, pretty hard, where we want to be, what we want to do, where the cameras are going to be, and a little bit of rehearsal. Chet's somewhat coordinated, so that helps
somewhat
as far as the stunts. And
yeah, I really
and
can't think of anything that's just really stuff. Embarrassing. I really can't.
Just the poo my pants incident. That's all I can think of.
No, we've been lucky with there's been minimal gastric distress on the show too.
Surprisingly.
So let's move on to the next question then. And this question comes to us from Jeanette Hill from Bedford, Texas. And she asks us, how long does it take to film an episode?
Well, first of all, we don't shoot on film. Thank you, Jeanette. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, this was something that was really kind of an eye-opener for me when I first joined the crew.
You really thought it took one day?
I didn't really know how long it took. So it just was interesting to for
I would
me to
say
figure
at
that
the
out.
End of after it's all said and done, it's probably 2.5 days.
Yeah,
this is a secret here. Don't tell anyone, podcast world. But we take 2 days in the field for each episode, and there's usually at least a half a day of something we've got to go back and shoot again.
Or shoot in the first place.
Not really again. We'll never go back to the destination, but there are certain things that we say, oh, this is a joke or a bit. We can do this in the studio or in we need any field. And so we don't want to waste time in the town we're in because that schedule is precious. And if it can be faked somewhere because it's part of a skit, we'll usually do that somewhere back here. And
close
it takes about a half a day
close
to the office.
Like Richie can work some magic with camera and then his editing and so on. So like when Chet was talking to Big Tex in the State Fair.
Yeah, that's what I thought
we
of.
Actually shot that just here in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And Richie shot that from like the rooftop down into
that.
So
Chet's POV of Big Tex is at the State Fair.
Yeah, over my shoulder looking up at Big Tex.
I really can't fake that too
yep.
too well.
Yeah.
And then the reverse is over Big Tex's shoulder at little Chet. Was off a roof somewhere here in the Georgetown Square.
The alternative would have been you had to crawl onto the head of the real Big Tex at the State Fair, which they're not going to let you do. Or we would have had to have a 30-foot ladder in the middle of the State Fair, which they won't let you do that either.
Or
so
kind of forced perspective mannequin of
Big Tex. Yeah, with a tiny Chet. I don't know how
really
that would
work. Really mess with our depth of field. And all
or
that
like
kind
this past
stuff.
Week, we had to come back and we were shooting in Kingsville, and there was a bit that we're going to do. I won't go into details of it. We'll save that for the episode.
El Muerto.
But we shot that here in Georgetown, you know, hooked up with a friend.
We needed
that had
a horse.
And
we didn't have time to wrangle a horse out in Kingsville, so we went ahead
and
shot
King
it.
King Ranch
here.
Is a little, they're a little protective of their livestock.
They're billion-dollar quarter horses, yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, final answer, it takes a little over two days. Really 2 days in the field, and then maybe something we'll call pickups.
Yeah.
And here's the next part about that. So you're thinking 2 days. And Chet wears the same clothes for 2 days in a row. And so depending upon what we schedule on day one, day two can be pretty
nasty. Yeah. You guys don't want to be in the car with me.
No, it's not that bad. But like San Antonio, we spilled coffee on
his
shirt. The season 4 San Antonio episode, we spilled coffee on his shirt.
I'll take credit. Maybe that was the most embarrassing thing.
I was like, Chet,
first shot.
Chet, do a little bobble when you come out of the thing with the coffee. So it's like, oh, I made it. Let's go start our day with some coffee and some little
first shot of the day.
Pan dulce from that.
Yeah,
bakery.
Yeah.
And there it goes all over the top of the shirt, right on the shoulder. And if you look, you go, oh, there it is.
There it is. Yeah, I've got a coffee stain on my shirt the whole time. Because that was your idea. I put the coffee on top of this pink box of Pan Dulce.
Yeah.
And it splashed and through the little coffee hole. It burnt my chin. And I went, man, it spilled all over my shirt.
Now, why we didn't think about actually doing an empty cup of coffee, since the viewers would never know it.
We
had.
Can't think that far.
We're not that smart, Todd.
Or no 2 days, Todd. 2 days.
Or in Marble Falls, whenever you and Chet were out doing the ATVing.
Oh man!
And y'all were like slapping your pants, and dust was just coming
out.
A
lot of dust,
and it was. Yeah. And the next day, it was not a pretty sight with him in the car with the dust covered pants and shirt.
The worst was in Lockhart, spending 2 days straight inside of dingy barbecue joints.
Oh yeah,
man, those clothes
man.
Could stand up on their own. Yeah, like they didn't need a body in them; they would just stand up.
The smoke. Yeah, we do the barbecue places, and you step back into the smoke.
And those are usually the worst.
That lingers.
Oh, big time.
That lingers big.
And it's funny because when we're eating and we're eating off camera with the crew. And there's those moments where Chet's doing something like with ketchup or barbecue sauce and it squirts onto the pants. We all just look and we're like, can we get that covered up?
Yeah, I hope we can shoot around that the camera. Rest of the day.
What was the recent one? I spilled something all over my leg.
Oh, that was,
leg.
In Kingsville. Kingsville, we were having lunch and you grabbed the barbecue sauce, the hot sauce, and it's tumbled over and it spilled onto your pants.
Squirted all over my pants.
Yes,
That's right. That's right. Woo!
Oh,
maybe that's it. Chet's
fun.
Chet's lack of coordination grabbing hot sauce bottles off
all
the
right,
table.
All right, moving on, guys.
All right, guys. So the next segment, we're heading to talk to Mr. Richie Lozano about the Texas Music Minute. Take it away, Richie.
Well, if I spell it out, if I gather down... So sometimes we get to put some great music on the show. Back in season 2, we did our Austin episode, South Austin episode, something just between like South First and South Congress, kind of right in the little nitty gritty of where it's nice and fun. And we came up to our segment on Barton Springs.
That's right.
And we needed a great big kind of open air, sunny day, outdoor swimming kind of song. And Bob Schneider's local. And it just
absolutely
struck us. And like, yeah, let's use
that's
this
it.
Song we can't
that's
afford.
It. We needed something with some energy, but a chilled out vibe. And of course, I've loved Bob Schneider for a long time.
Oh,
he's great.
You know, and he plays so much in town, you can still get up and close with Bob and watch him do his thing and feel he's a really part of the, you know, the Austin, Texas
he's
music
part
scene.
Of the, I mean,
so much.
He's in the, what epitomizes the Austin music scene. You've got to put Bob in there, singer songwriter type of deal.
So when we came across this track from his album Lonely Creatures, that was 2009. Kirtland Records put this one out for him. You loved it. Just had the right
a lot
kind
of good
of vibe.
Songs on that track, on that album.
Yeah, really big and dynamic. And Robert Rodriguez actually directed the music video for this.
Oh, really?
All around Zilker, and it's him and Kat Dennings.
I've never even seen this music video.
Girls. Yeah.
It's okay.
Kind of like underground a little bit, but I was like, yeah, it's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So, love this one at Barton Springs in our Austin, Texas episode. Bob Schneider, 40 Dogs.
Gosh, that's such a good, great
we love
tune.
That one.
Great tune. All right, guys. Well, hey, we want to just thank again our sponsor for making this podcast possible, the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. And as I said, whether you're looking to have more holidays in your life and you need a place for your big family to get together, or whether you're looking to avoid the holidays completely and fall off the map, go to thehighlandlakes.org, thehighlandlakes.org, book yourself a nice little vacation getaway. They got all kinds of stuff in the Highland Lakes. Or, as I should mention, we talked about the Hill Country Lights Tour. If you're looking for a place to home base it while you go and see all the lights of the Hill Country, thehighlandlakes.org is a good place to look. Well, guys, that was a whole lot of fun. Makes me excited for Christmas. I'm ready for Christmas to get here.
Same here. I want mac and cheese and M&M cookies.
Yeah, that's
whiskey,
what I'm talking
whiskey
about.
Knob.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Join us in next time as we'll have a special guest in the studio, Jordan Briel from Texas Monthly. She's a travel writer over there, and she's traveled the great state of Texas almost as much as we have, maybe more. And so we'll be talking to her, getting her opinion on what it's like to make a living out of travel in the great state of Texas. Remember, guys, if y'all are looking for unique Christmas items and want to support the show, visit the Day Tripper General Store. It's daytrippergeneralstore.com, or you can go to the Day Tripper and click store. We got t-shirts. We just added these cool new stainless steel pint glasses, coffee mugs, all sorts of books about Texas, little things like that. So go to daytrippergeneralstore.com, find some Christmas gear, and support the show at the same time.
And, folks, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. First and foremost, Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
That's right. So we'll see all y'all out on the road. Vaya con Dios, amigos.